भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा टुडे वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 11 द परफेक्ट सोसाइटी फोर सोशल क्लासेस टेक्स्ट नंबर 3 एंड 4 भवान प्रजापते साक्षात आत्मजः परमेष्टिनः सूतानां सम्मतो ब्रह्मं तपो योगो समाधिभिः आत्मज ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्री प्रभुपाद ओ बेस्ट ऑफ द ब्राह्मणास यू आर डायरेक्टली द सन ऑफ प्रजापति लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा Because of your austerities, mystic yoga, and trance, you are considered the best of all of Lord Brahma's sons. Since this verse has no purport, we'll take the next verse, text 4. Narayana paravipra dharmam guhyam param viduhu karunaha sadhava shantar tvadvidhana tathapare. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. No one is superior to you in peaceful life and mercy. And no one knows better than you how to execute devotional service or how to become the best of the brahmanas. Therefore, you know all the principles of confidential religious life and no one knows them better than you. Purport. Yudhishthir Maharaj knew that Narad Muni is the supreme spiritual master of human society who can teach the path of spiritual liberation leading to the understanding of the supreme personality of Godhead. Actually, it is for this purpose that Narad Muni compiled his Bhakti Sutra and gave directions in the Narad Pancharatra. To learn about religious principles and the perfection of life, one must take instruction from the disciplic succession of Narada Muni. Our Krishna consciousness movement is directly in the line of the Brahma Sampradaya. Narada Muni received instructions from Lord Brahma and in turn transmitted the instructions to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva instructed his son Shukadeva Goswami who spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Because Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami and Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna, there is no difference between them. If we strictly follow the principle of disciplic succession, we are certainly on the right path of spiritual liberation or eternal engagement in devotional service. Hare Krishna. Translation once again. Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying, O best of the Brahmanas, you are directly the son of Prajapati, Lord Brahma. Because of your austerities, mystic yoga, and trance, you are considered the best of all of Lord Brahma's sons. No one is superior to you in peaceful life and mercy, and no one knows better than you how to execute devotional service or how to become the best of the Brahmanas. Therefore, you know all the principles of confidential religious life, and no one knows them better than you. So we can see here that in the beginning of this chapter, chapter 11, Yudhishthir Maharaj has a deep inquiry in his heart. And while inquiring from Sri Narad Muni, Yudhishthir Maharaj is also taking the opportunity to glorify the wonderful activities and qualities of Narad Muni. These two verses is basically nothing but Yudhishthir Maharaj glorifying Narad Muni for what he represents and what he is. Just now we are having Guru Puja and I was relating to one song which glorifies Narad Muni, Narad Muni Bajaye Vina. And I was thinking this song is so well pertinent to the ecstatic dancing which devotees enter into when they come together and congregate for chanting the holy names. So this wonderful song composed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about the transcendental narration of the ecstatic emotions which goes all over the universe as soon as Narad Muni enters the scene with his transcendental veena. striking the chords and is chanting the names of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So the song is as here, Narada Muni Bajaye Vina Radhika Ramana Name. Nama Amani Udita Hoy Bhakata Gita Same. So whenever the kirtan of the Lord's devotees takes place, Narada Muni enters into the scene, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And how does he enter? Bajaye Vina Radhika Ramana Name. He enters into the scene playing his Vina, chanting the holy names. And then what happens to the kirtan? The kirtan doesn't remain the same. Amiya Dhara Varisha Ghana Shravana Yugala Giya. The holy name starts showering like a rainfall. And then all the devotees go into ecstasy. Bhakata Jana Sagane Nache. And then all the devotees, when they go in ecstasy, they dance madly. Bhariya Apane Hiya. As soon as Narada Muni starts singing, the devotees, they repeatedly dance with heart's content, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. And what happens next? Madhuri Pura Asava Pashi Matai Jagata Jane. And when the devotees, not just devotees, all the people all over the universe, they become maddened upon entering into this intoxicating shower of nectar. Then the kirtan becomes more intense. Keho va kande, some people cry. Keho va nache, some people dance. And keho mate mane mane. And some people become fully intoxicated within their minds. Not only devotees, not only people all over the universe, even the demigods join. Pancha vadana narada dhari. As soon as Lord Shiva enters the kirtan, he goes to Narad Muni and ecstasy holds him tight. As if, what you're doing? What is going on? Premere sagana rolo. And then he repeatedly makes loud screams of ecstatic joy. And then, not only Lord Shiva, Brahmaji joins. Kamala asana nachiya bole, bolo hari, hari bolo. When Brahmaji enters, he ecstatically dances and says, all of you kindly chant, hari bol, hari bol. And then, Anantashesh joins him. In great happiness, the thousand-faced Anantashesh chants, hari hari, sahasranana paramasukhe hari hari baligiya, baligaya. Nama prabhave matila vishwa nama rasa sabe paye. And then the whole universe becomes ecstatically maddened and everyone tastes the mellow of holy name. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Shri Krishna nama rasana spuri purala amara asa. And when I see this, all my desires are fulfilled, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And then he prays at the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami, let the chanting of Hari name may continue like this always. So this is the ecstatic chanting of Shri Narad Muni. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying that how Narad Muni, you are not just one of the devotees and not just one of the sons of Prajapati Brahma, but you are considered the best of Lord Brahma's sons. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is not some flattering here. Actually, it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, how Narad Muni was born. And in that chapter, it is mentioned that how Lord Brahma, while creating, first he creates Lord Shiva, and his idea of creating Lord Rudra was to progenate the universe. But Lord Shiva's activities are otherwise, and instead of progenating and creating, all his followers start destroying things. So then he was told that now you retire, I'll call you, Brahmaji tells him, I'll call you later. And Brahmaji continues to procreate many more children. And it is mentioned, Brahmaji procreates Marichi, Atri, Angira, Pulatsya, Pulaha, and all the great rishis. And the tenth son is Narada. And Naradji was born from the deliberation of Lord Brahma. So Prabhupada says in purport that Naradji was the best son. Why? Because he was born from the best part of Lord Brahma. Narad Muni was born from deliberation of Lord Brahma. So he was the best son in that way also. And Prabhupada mentions that in the purport, that there are three different departments of knowledge. One is the karma kand, other is the jnana kand, and third is the upasana kand. So when Brahmaji created all his ten sons, he gave the karma kand division to Prajapati Daksha. And then you give Gyan Kanda, the transcendental knowledge, to the four Kumaras. But when it came to give Upasana Kanda or the Bhakti, Lord Brahma handed it over to Narada Muni. In this way, why Narada Muni was chosen? Because Brahmaji, Lord Srila Prabhupada says that Narada is described here as the most beloved son of Brahma because of his good behavior, obedience, meekness, and readiness to do any service unto his father. In this way, Narada is famous as the greatest of all sages because of his being the greatest of all devotees. Of course, Srila Prabhupada also says Narada Muni qualifies himself as the best of all devotees because he is also best of all the preachers and he is the best recruiter of devotees. He goes on and preaches to people in all places, in all circumstances. And Prabhupada adds that he has preached and he has made devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, like Prahlad Maharaj. And Prabhupada goes on to say that not only good people in the society, but even Narada Muni goes to the extent of delivering fallen souls like Mrigari. And he met Valmiki, who initially was a hunter, a killer, a robber, and made him into a devotee. So the list of devotees recruited by Narada Muni is unlimited. And the ways of his preaching is also unique. Every preaching which it does is a unique preaching. So in this way, the Bhagavatam glorifies Narada Muni for his wonderful qualities as a devotee. Srila Prabhupada also says in the same purport that Brahmaji, when he was creating the universe, he realized that the universe is, the purpose of universe is to deliver the conditioned fallen souls and take them back to Godhead. And therefore he was thinking, contemplating that who will do this work? Who will preach? And therefore in deliberation, from his deliberation came Narada Muni. As if Narada Muni was the answer to his call, that who will deliver this universe? So Narada Muni comes in, comes out, and Narada Muni becomes the pioneer, the preacher of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Gita. Therefore Narada Muni, Narada also means the means deliver, or to deliver. Nara means Narayan. One who delivers Lord Narayan to others, that's Narada Muni. So this is the quality of Narada Muni which is described here by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada says in purport, Yudhishthira Maharaj knew that Narada Muni is a supreme spiritual master of human society who can teach the path of spiritual liberation. So, Prabhupada says it is for this purpose that Narada Muni compiled the Bhakti Sutras, that Narada Bhakti Sutra and Narada Pancharatra also. So we can see that how Sri Narada Muni is instrumental in preaching the message of Krishna consciousness. In fact, Srila Prabhupada many times told that even Narada Muni regularly comes and is present while the chanting, the congregational chanting of the holy name is being done even today also. So Narada Muni's contribution in the Krishna consciousness movement is not meager, it's actually mega. It's very important, and Narada Muni often comes in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. I was going through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam trying to see where Narada Muni appears, and literally almost every alternate cantos Narada Muni's description is there, his preaching is there, and his wonderful philosophical treatise is given. So the first canto begins with Narada Muni coming when Vyasadeva is confused about what is the problem he is facing. He is not satisfied even though he had compiled the whole gamut of Vedic scriptures. And Narada Muni comes at right time. This is the speciality of Narada Muni, always comes at right time. So Narada Muni comes at the right time and inspires Vyasadeva to write Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are here today discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. So Narada Muni was instrumental in encouraging Vyasadeva to write Bhagavat. That's the first canto. In third canto, we see Narada Muni again being born as the son of Brahma, which we discussed just now. In fourth canto comes when Narada Muni very intelligently enters into the palace of King Prachini Parishad. Now, King Prachini Parishad is a very intelligent king, and he knows the purpose of human life. At least he knew how to, at least he was good in preaching the purpose of human life to others. And therefore, he encouraged his sons to go and seek the goal of human life, the Prachetas, to go out and seek Krishna, God. But in his personal life, he was not doing what he was preaching. He himself was very much attached to fruitive activities. So Narad Muni saw that this father has told his sons to go and seek God, but in his own life, he is not actually fully Krishna conscious. So Narad Muni enters the scene, and then he preaches Parchini Parishad in a unique way, in the form of allegory, the story of King Puranjan. And then Narad Muni inspires him to become more Krishna conscious. And not only that, King Parchini Parishad, a great king, the emperor of the maybe the whole world, and Parchini Parishad, he becomes so ecstatic in Krishna consciousness by the preaching of Narad Muni, understanding the message of Krishna consciousness, that he doesn't wait even for Pachitas to come back. He leaves his kingdom for good to practice Krishna consciousness. So you can imagine Narad Muni's enthusiasm in preaching even enlightens and inspires a person to give his whole life for Krishna. That is the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we go on for the sixth canto, where we see Narad Muni doing a massive preaching to the sons of Prajapati Daksha. First the 10,000 sons and then the 1,000 sons. So in one shot, he had a big ceremony of making brahmacharis, 11,000 total devotees from Prajapati's sons. And then he gets a curse from Prajapati Daksha that how, because you made my sons into renounce order of life, so I curse you that you will not be able to stay in one place, you will keep moving. Of course, Narad Muni is happy for such a curse, it's a blessing. And actually, Prabhupada says in purport that just like Narad Muni got a curse from Prajapati Daksha, similarly we can see that I also got a curse from all the parents of my devotees. And therefore, even though I have big palatial buildings all over the world, where all the devotees are inviting me to stay there, but yet I cannot stay there for more than a week also. 3-4 days or a week, and then I have to move on. And Srila Prabhupada says that, now I want that all my devotees take this curse upon them. And you don't stay in one place. Keep moving and keep preaching. So that is the sixth canto. And then the seventh canto, we saw Narad Muni telling Yudhishthira Maharaj about the whole pastime of how Narasingha appeared for Prahlad Maharaj. And we are continuing now, seventh canto. Narad Muni is still there. Then the tenth canto, we see how Narad Muni inspires. Rather, he goes to the court of Bhishmaka and he extols the glories of Lord Krishna to Rukmini Devi. And Rukmini Devi has never seen Krishna in her life, at least in that particular leela. And just by hearing about Lord Krishna from Narad Muni, Rukmini Devi is so inspired to accept only Lord Krishna as the husband. So we can see that Narad Muni comes and does a special role in many pastimes of Krishna. And he makes the leela go on, as Dwarkadish was mentioned, that the leela should go on, this should not stop, something should happen in the pastime. And Narad Muni many times comes and makes that thing happen, let the leela move on. In the case of 10th canto again, Narad Muni also, he inspires Kamsa to not become very pious. When Kamsa takes a decision that he will not kill any of the sons of Devaki, it is Narad Muni who comes and tells him that, you know, you're making a wrong decision, and inspires him that he should not become generous and in fact should kill all the sons of Devaki. Why? Because Narad Muni knew that it is not good for Kamsa to become pious, because then Lord Krishna's appearance will be delayed. So Narad Muni inspires Kamsa to become more a vicious murderer of his own nephews. Then in the 11th canto, or rather 10th canto again, Narad Muni visits the different palaces of Lord Krishna. Now Narad Muni, having heard Lord Krishna killed Narakasura, Bhomasura, and then Lord Krishna marrying 16,100 princesses from the kingdom of Narakasura, Narad Muni is surprised that how Lord Krishna can marry altogether 16,108 queens. And in his amazement, he wants to go and see how Lord Krishna is dealing with each of his wives. And therefore Narad Muni comes from the skyway, enters into Dwarka. And the Krishna book mentions that Narad Muni first goes to the principal queen, the first queen, Rukmini Devi. And Narad Muni becomes, he just acts, Lord Krishna as a ordinary householder, acting like an ordinary householder. He welcomes Narad Muni, bathes his lotus feet, and offer all kinds of respect to Narad Muni. And Narad Muni, knowing that it is none other than Krishna, my Supreme Lord, but he, because it's a pastime, he agrees to be honored by Krishna. And Narad Muni becomes so ecstatic, not just one palace, he goes palace after palace. Narad Muni, Srila Prabhupada says, Narad Muni goes to each palace, 16,108 palaces of Lord Krishna. So we can imagine Narad Muni's enthusiasm in going and seeing what Krishna does in every palace. He is so happy doing it. One devotee was mentioning that in yatras, we go to so many temples. So initially, first temple we visit, then we are so prayerful, you know, and we are literally praying to Krishna, please save us. And then eventually every day, 5-6 temples we visit, and then, you know, one dandavat, take deity darshan and come out. So it becomes many times a ritual in the yatras to go to so many temples in one day. But Narad Muni is not like that. Narad Muni is going to each and every palace, ecstatically going and seeing what Krishna is doing in each palace. He's narrating, he's seeing Krishna in one palace is giving charity, in second palace is Krishna arranging a marriage, receiving bride, a girl in marriage for his children's, for his sons, and sometimes seeing his own daughter in marriage, giving in marriage to others. And then he also sees Krishna, he is playing with his children, his grandchildren. He sees Krishna performing some yajna. And in this way he goes to every palace to see what Lord Krishna does. And Narad Muni is ecstatic doing those things. And in the 11th canto, Narad Muni comes to preach, or rather console Vasudeva, and extol the glories of devotional service to him. So this is how Narad Muni is figuring out in every pages, literally all the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in fact, I was reading one article in the BTG, and in that article, it's from Padma, the quotation is from Padma Puran. It is mentioned that how Narad Muni once vowed to Srimati Bhakti Devi that that there is no other age like Kali Yuga, because Narad Muni says that Bhakti Devi will be established in every house as well as in the heart of every person in Kali Yuga. And in the same Padma Puran later, Kumaras revealed to Narad Muni how this will be done. And they mention to Narad Muni that when a lion roars, all the wolves, they flee in fear. Similarly, by the sound of Srimad Bhagavatam, all the vicious qualities of Kali Yuga are destroyed. So in this way, Narad Muni is extolling the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Narad Muni also receives this instruction from Brahmaji. Brahmaji mentions to Narad Muni that the specific prescription for Kali Yuga. Brahmaji tells that Narad Muni, there is no other scripture compared to Srimad Bhagavatam which is completely transcendental. Therefore, Narad, you should teach Srimad Bhagavatam in order to deliver all living entities. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam which Narad Muni is always extolling the glories of. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that to learn about religious principles and the perfection of life, one must take instruction from disciplic succession of Narad Muni. And Prabhupada says, our Krishna consciousness movement is directly in the line of Brahma Sampradaya. That means anyone who is receiving instructions in Brahma Sampradaya is actually receiving instructions from Narad Muni. In fact, in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that that immediate spiritual master is representative of Narad Muni. And therefore, there is no difference in the instructions one receives from his immediate spiritual master and the spiritual master Narad Muni. It is the same. Why? Because it is a disciplic succession. I was referring to one class of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada says that the parampara system is very vibrant, it's very dynamic. It is not some static thing. One should not think that, you know, that past acharyas have foregone, they have gone, and then new acharyas have come. No, even the past acharyas are active. Srila Prabhupada says that among, you know, Brahma Sampradaya, we can see still Brahmaji is present. And Vyasadeva is present. Narad Muni is present. Even Madhvacharya is with Vyasadeva in Badrika Ashram. So they are present, they are dynamic, they are still there. So therefore parampara goes on. Many times we often come across accusation that, you know, outsiders say that Prabhupada has changed the philosophy. Maybe some sampradaya, there is a deviation in sampradaya. Or maybe after Prabhupada things have changed. But we can see that we are not in a parampara where we have lost our spiritual masters. But spiritual masters are there. So we don't have to scratch our heads to think that how parampara will continue, how deviation. Better is to follow our own self, the parampara system. And when something will happen, there are devotees who are there up there. Brahmaji is there, Narad Muni is still present. They will come and they will do the work necessary. So this is a parampara system where a disciple receives the same instruction, the same benefit which Yudhishthir Maharaj is receiving here from Narad Muni. And therefore, the immediate spiritual master is as good as Narad Muni. The same instructions are there. I remember 10 years ago when Back to God magazine came and the cover page was how Narad Muni is same as Srila Prabhupada. There are parallels between Narad Muni and Srila Prabhupada. And the devotee had beautifully mentioned that how whatever Narad Muni did, we can see in the present generation, Srila Prabhupada also achieved those things. Like for example, Narad Muni travels everywhere, all over the world and preaches Krishna consciousness. Of course, Narad Muni travels all over the universe. And Srila Prabhupada, he fulfilled the prophecy of traveling all over the earth planet and preaching Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada himself went to so many cities and preached. And then through his disciples, he went to every nook and corner and preached the message of Krishna consciousness. So that is the parallel between Srila Prabhupada and Narad Muni. That Srila Prabhupada, as Narad Muni, was a traveling preacher. Also, like Narad Muni, Srila Prabhupada also delivered so many fallen souls. We were discussing before that how Narad Muni delivered among his disciples, there were people like Mrigari, who was a very treacherous hunter, but he became an exalted devotee. Then Valmiki Muni, and also we see so many people like, you know, so many living entities like the disciple Cobra of Narad Muni, who also became non-envious by the preaching of Narad Muni. Then we see the materialistic person, our Kailash, and then he becomes a devotee because of Narad Muni. So Narad Muni is engaged in rescuing the fallen souls. And when Srila Prabhupada went to America, he was also turning into people who were from fallen condition of life and making them into devotees. We recollect one Srila Prabhupada pastime. Srila Prabhupada went to one place called as Morning Star Ranch. And it is mentioned in the Lilamrit that Satswara Maharaj writes that the leader of this ranch invited Srila Prabhupada to come to his ranch and speak something to the people who are staying there. So it was an easy to go free place. And Prabhupada later realized when he reached that place what it actually means to be a free place. He saw many people were not dressed there. And it was a free life. You can do whatever you can. So they were busy planting some vegetables and going to the mountains and forests and living a recluse life. So Prabhupada saw all this. And then one of the main in charge of that Morning Star Ranch, he came and he greeted and he was fully naked. So Prabhupada asked him, what are you doing with your life? And then he said, I am planting vegetables. And Prabhupada asked him, what are you doing with your life? And then he realized that Prabhupada was asking him directly into his heart, saying into his heart, that what he was doing is a useless thing. And this person later on became a devotee because of the introspection which Srila Prabhupada's one statement created in his heart. So Prabhupada went there and Prabhupada gave a small talk. And when Prabhupada was speaking, he chose the subject of Markat Vairagya. Prabhupada said that even the monkeys, they roam naked in the forest and they are vegetarians. But they are attached to sense objects and sense gratification. So Prabhupada urged to all of these people that don't live an external life. And Prabhupada then chanted the Hare Krishna Kirtan. And that kirtan was so ecstatic, so vibrant, that even after Prabhupada left, that was the only visit Prabhupada had there, the kirtan continued in that community. People would come together, and whatever they had, whatever instruments they had, they would get, come together and continue chanting Hare Krishna. And that got so many devotees. In fact, I was reading this book, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Servant of Servant. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj narrates how he came to Krishna consciousness. And it mentioned that Vishnujan Maharaj, he actually came through this Morning Star Ranch. And so Vishnujan Maharaj was once in the forest and he was playing his drum. It was not a drum, it was actually plastic or some tin box. And he was beating drum, trying to play some music. And Tamalakrishna Maharaj also had come to that place. And he was in some other place in the forest. And he was playing his flute. So when he took a break, he heard someone playing a drum. And when Vishnu Jayan Maharaj took a break, he heard someone playing a flute. So both of them got attracted to the other instruments. And coincidentally, both of them walking towards each other. That means Tamalakrishna Maharaj was attracted to the sound of drums, so he was walking towards the place from where the sound is coming. And Vishnu Jayan Maharaj was attracted to the sound of flute. And he was going towards the place from where sound is coming. So both of them met together, strangers meeting. They saw each other. They just laughed. And they continued playing their drum and their flute for 3 hours without speaking. And they became best of friends. And then Vishnu Jayan Swami Maharaj introduced Tamalakrishna Maharaj to Srila Prabhupada in San Francisco. And is how Tamalakrishna Maharaj and Vishnu Jayan Maharaj came from Morningstar Ranch. Srila Prabhupada even visited that place and made devotees there. So he was deliverer of fallen souls. And just like Narad Muni compiled Narad Pancharatra, a scripture which speaks about deity worship standards. And he extolled the glories of deity worship. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he went to the world where there was no concept of deity worship in the West. And Prabhupada installed deities in the West all over the world and made temples and set up standards, huge standards in deity worship. So like Narad Muni, Srila Prabhupada also was engaged in deity worship. And as I mentioned, Narad Muni always came on time, at right time. So it looked like externally that Narad Muni was efficient in his preaching because he came on time. But it was not so. Narad Muni always moved on the instructions of Lord Krishna, on the will of Lord Krishna. And Narad Muni had a sincere desire to preach. So therefore Krishna always directed him to a place right at time to preach and make devotees. So Narad Muni exactly reached at right time. And similarly, externally it may look like Srila Prabhupada went to the West in 1960s when there was rapid material advancement going on in America, and also there was a great deal of alternatives people were seeking, young people were seeking about what life is all about. So it may look like Prabhupada went in the right time and therefore the preaching was successful. No, it was not like that. Srila Prabhupada was so sincere in his preaching that to execute Lord Krishna's will, Lord Krishna inspired him to go in 1960s. And at that time inspired people to become Krishna conscious. In this way, Narad Muni and Srila Prabhupada in the same parampara have done miraculous revolutionary work and made so many devotees. It is also mentioned that in the first canto that Narad Muni is speaking about his meeting his spiritual master, meeting the four Bhakti Vedantists, and he is speaking that how he was attached to hearing from them. And when he was attached to hearing from them, that hearing caused him attachment to Krishna consciousness. So, just like Narad Muni became attached to the Bhakti Vedantis, to the method of hearing, similarly, Srila Prabhupada also was attached to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur through the process of hearing. And even Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he noted, and he said to his disciple that this boy likes to hear. In fact, one time he told one of the organizers of his magazine that, because this boy is good in hearing, so whatever he writes, you publish. Because he will write also good. So this was some parallels we can see from the life of Narad Muni and Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, Prabhupada says, the Krishna consciousness movement is based on Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. And because Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, and the Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna, there is no difference between them. If we strictly follow the principles of disciplic succession, Prabhupada says, we are certainly on the right path of spiritual liberation or eternal engagement in devotional service. So in this way, we can see in these two beautiful translations here, the wonderful glories of Sri Narad Muni. How Narad Muni is practicing Krishna consciousness and spreading Krishna consciousness in unique ways. So this is something about Narad Muni which I found something here and I discussed. We'll end here. Anything? Any comments? Any comments? We have something? Sweet. It is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada. So I try to refer which is the quotation, where it from which Puran it comes. But this cobbler and this Kaila story is narrated of Prabhupada. So while narrating, Prabhupada never spoke about any scriptures he's mentioned. So I'm not sure about which Puran or which particular scripture it comes from. But it has come from Srila Prabhupada's own lotus mouth. That is the only reference. Maybe someone else knows about this. Prabhupada is asking about what is the source for Kailash story, the story of Kailash being delivered. Any questions?
मैं हिंदी में बोल सकता हूँ प्रभु जी
हाँ बोलिए हिंदी में
हाँ ये मैंने एक इस्कॉन में प्रवचन सुना था उस समय बोल रहे थे लंदन में प्रभुपाद जी बैठे थे और वो जोर से हंसे उस समय प्रभुपाद जी बैठे थे टेंपल में लंदन में उस समय नारद जी उनको दिखे नारद जी बोले मैंने तो एक ही शिकार लगाई थी तुमने तो मरीचों को भी शिकार लगा दी ऐसे करके
एक एक कथा मुझे याद आ रही है नारद मुनि की प्रभुपाद एक बार एक हॉल में गए प्रवचन करने के लिए और बहुत सारे भक्तों ने उनके लिए एक बड़ा कार्यक्रम आयोजित किया था और इस कार्यक्रम में उनकी इच्छा थी कि बहुत सारे लोग वहां पर आए ये पहली बार कार्यक्रम न्यूयॉर्क के ऐसे भाग में हुआ जहाँ पे अच्छे किस्म के लोग रहते थे जहाँ पर अच्छे सोसाइटी के हाई क्लास लोग रहते थे तो उन्होंने जब अरेंज किया तो उस प्रोग्राम में सिर्फ 7-8 लोग ही आए और प्रभुपाद ने फिर भी प्रवचन किया 7-8 लोगों के लिए और प्रभुपाद ने तत्पश्चात बताया कि आप लोग इतने दुखी क्यों है आपने देखा नहीं कि 7-8 लोग थे और नारद मुनि स्वयं आए थे प्रवचन सुनने के लिए तो ये कथा मुझे मालूम है अभी इसके आगे आपकी जो कथा शायद हो सकती है लेकिन मुझे इतना इसका कुछ ज्ञान नहीं है एनी अदर क्वेश्चंस वी हैव 5 मोर मिनट्स सो विल एंड हियर थैंक यू वेरी मच हरे कृष्ण श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय